right. Thank you very much. Luke chapter 2, as we've been going through just the this gospel in regard to the Christmas story, and we're going to look at a couple of more very important characters here that have a very major part in the sense of helping us understand the import of what Christ has done. I love the story about an older man who was walking along the beach one day. It was early in the morning, and he saw a young man picking up starfish and flinging them into the ocean. The boy explained he was afraid the stranded starfish would die if it was left till the morning sun. The older man said, "You know, the beach goes on for miles. What difference will it make? There are so many starfish that nothing you can do will matter." As the old boy picked up another starfish and threw it in the sea, he said, "It matters to this one." And my friends, it's so wonderful as we look at the Christmas story that everyone mattered to God. Everyone in the whole world. And the message getting out matters to those that hear it. And honestly, we as believers can get overwhelmed with the population of the world and even the size of the area that we are in. But we've got to understand that Jesus Christ came to die for everyone, and everyone matters. And really, when you look at it, the hinge of history swings on the door of the stable. There is what begins the work of Christ so that everyone's needs can be met. And tonight I'm only going to take a few minutes to look at two people here that understood the need to proclaim the truth about what had happened. We already saw this morning in the first part of the wonderful story of the birth of Jesus Christ how that the angels declared the story and the truth. And then you have the shepherds, after they saw what had happened and came and worshiped the Lord, they began to proclaim it everywhere. But then there are two more people here that immediately did the same thing. And I've been impressed as I've been studying the Christmas story here these few weeks, how that right from the beginning, the proclamation of what was happening was just the normal thing for everyone that saw what God had done. And it shows you how important it is for us to be stirred by truth, so it's a natural thing for us, supernatural thing. First of all, as we look at the fearless proclamation about the birth of Christ, we see Simeon's pronouncement. Simeon's pronouncement, if you look with me now at verse 21, actually we'll go back and start in verse 19 from the story that we read this morning. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So at this juncture, we have another proclamation. But let me give you some background just very quickly here tonight. The reason we have this event is because of Joseph's obedience. Simeon never could have had the opportunity to see the Messiah and to pronounce to all that were there what had been done and who this child was if Joseph had not followed the law very carefully. And it's very important to obey the word of God. You note back up in the passage, it says they called his name Jesus. That's what the angel had told them, had told Mary, and then Joseph before the child was conceived, and then after the child was conceived. They followed exactly the prescription for the ceremony of a woman who had had birth, and 33 days later she was to come to the temple and was to offer herself there. And then you have the very key matter here, and that is the firstborn was to be redeemed. You remember the firstborn of all of the Egyptians, what had happened to them when the death angel came? Well, they all died. But God, of course, preserved the firstborn of Israel, those that had the blood over the doorpost. And the Levites were given as a substitute for the firstborn. That entire tribe became the priestly and servant tribe for the things of the temple, the tabernacle and the temple. And there was to be an offering, a sacrifice, making it very clear that this firstborn was holy unto the Lord, and God had allowed each firstborn to live because of what he had done, and God expected the firstborn to serve him. And so you have this ceremony followed, as I read quickly there, and you have the offering given. By the way, there wasn't a lamb sacrificed here, was there? No, it was two turtle doves, which means that Joseph and Mary had very little. I mentioned this morning they were in the lowest of a situation for the birth, and they continued to be in a very minimal economic situation. Jesus came into that. But Joseph obeyed, and there's a lot more details when it comes to a woman's purification and the offering for the firstborn, but he did it exactly like the law. Now, what's so interesting is that Joseph and Mary were part of the remnant that were truly trusting in the coming Messiah for their salvation. They weren't part of the Judaistic religion, but they still followed the law because they understood the Old Testament was given and was inspired. And so Simeon was able to give this great pronouncement because they were obedient. And he was able to himself make this wonderful pronouncement because he was part himself of the believing remnant. The Bible says here he was devout, verse 25. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He believed in the Messiah, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Evidently, the Lord had used him like he had used the prophets and others in the Old Testament. In fact, he had that relationship to where the Holy Ghost revealed to him that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Messiah. So he was living a life of faith, and he was devout. And I tell you what a difference it makes. The Lord Jesus summed up the entire law in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And let me just say here, when it comes to fearless witnessing and really declaration of the truth, it all comes out of, as I mentioned this morning, knowing the glory and really loving the Lord. A little story about Christmas. A little boy was seen going in and out of the church several times. You've heard this. And when asked, "What gift did you give the Christ child?" He replied, "What gift did you ask of the Christ child?" He replied, "I didn't ask for anything. I was just in there loving him for a little while." And you know, that simple heart of a child that understands what Christ has done, that's exactly the kind of heart that we need to have. I'm going to make a statement here, and I alluded to that this morning. When we're callous to witnessing, it really is a symptom of a lack of devotion to God. It's a lack of really knowing him as we should in a personal way, because we can't help but talk about someone we love. You know, we got to be careful. Even though witnessing is a duty, it really should be a part of our life. We cannot help but talk about our Savior. And that's what I wanted us to see in this. This man was not a priest. He was a simple layman. But God wants to use every one of us to magnify his name. He knew that the comfort of Israel was going to be the coming Messiah, and the Spirit of God was upon him. And then he was able to bless because of his knowledge of the Scripture. And we see that in his blessing here. We'll begin with verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now this is very significant. This was a privilege that God gives every one of us who know him and have that personal relationship with him. And I want you to realize that he was not a priest. Mary was there, and she was a woman. So the only place they could have been was in the court of the Gentiles. That word would have been where the majority of the people were. And he makes this pronouncement loudly. And already it had been buzzing around about what the shepherds had said and others that had heard these things. And now Simeon, a man that was devout and respected, loudly says, Lord, you can take me now, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. They knew this was a man that was waiting for the Messiah. And I love it, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Isn't that wonderful? We're included right there. That shows you the heart of the Holy Spirit for us, if we're Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. And the word of God should be in our heart, as Psalm 49:3 says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I love the story of a woman that just, she had memorized a good part of the New Testament, but as she began to lose her memory, the only verse she could remember is, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But she began to start losing that verse. She was holding on to that which I've committed unto him. But finally, in the days before she died and went to heaven, she was heard saying the last word she remembered, him, him, him. The entire word of God is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And for those of us, if we will love the Word of God and understand as Simeon did, and he understood about the Messiah, he realized what God had taught. God gave him this great privilege, and he was able to give this great hymn of praise. An entire message could be given on this tremendous hymn that clearly is that which speaks of Simeon's understanding of truth. Before I get to that, Joseph and his mother, verse 13, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You can imagine the comfort this was to them. They had gone through a lot. But again, they had heard the shepherds, and now Simeon, a man they would respect, gives glory to God for what was occurring. And so again it was reinforced to this dear devout couple, this is indeed the Messiah. In fact, the remnant there in Israel all knew each other. And I would not doubt that's why they crossed paths too. Of course, God providentially led him. But they were together there, and this has got to have rejoiced their heart. They marveled. They were thrilled. They were so encouraged. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now it's getting serious what he's saying. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here is the prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and frankly also the suffering of Mary, who would stand at the foot of that cross. But I want to remind you that Mary saw her resurrected son. And remember, she's not revered during this time. She's mentioned. And she stayed devout all the way through the cross, through the resurrection. And then when John the Apostle was given care of Mary, we find her many years later. That shows you how young she was when she bore Christ. But she was actually serving God faithfully in Ephesus. And of course, we find her in the upper room in chapter 1 of Acts. And so she knew the reality of this, and I'm sure this just resonated and was a great comfort to her that this child was going to be the key for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and that a sword would pierce through her own soul. I'm sure she could hear Simeon's voice at the foot of the cross. That was God's gracious reminder to her that he was in charge. So it's a wonderful hymn of praise. Well, let me just look at Anna for a minute here tonight, the other one that this godly woman, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here's another one. Couldn't keep quiet once she saw Jesus. She here... It clearly is she's a prophetess. She was one that spoke forth the truth prior to this. The Spirit of God was also upon her. She was clearly a very strong Israelite because she knew her tribal background, being from Asher, one of the 10 lost tribes, which shows you that many of the folks in Judea were actually from the northern tribes. God had brought, I think he brought back a remnant of each of those. I can't prove that completely, but this sure gives us a sign that there were many that had come back from that captivity and were back into the land. And she was focused totally on serving God, night and day with prayers and fasting. Remind you of Daniel. He knew the prophecy about the 70 years, and he realized someone had to seek the Lord about that. And as Jeremiah 29 says, he sought the Lord, and God did bring that prophecy through. The captivity was overturned, and the people came back to the land. Well, Anna knew the prophecy of Daniel, and she knew that it was getting to be time for the Messiah to come. But I believe she prayed and believed that someone had to be praying. And God, because of her devotion and because of her prayer and her fasting, and because she took her widowhood instead of feeling as though she was useless, she became, as 1 Timothy 5:5 says, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications night and day." That's the kind of heart that God wants in that kind of an extremely difficult situation. I'm telling you, folks, any person here, no matter what our circumstances are, if we will give ourselves in prayer and fasting, we become an important person to God because big things happen. Isn't that interesting? Simeon, a man of prayer. Anna, a woman of prayer. Not significant people, but people that are in Scripture and people that had the honor of seeing Jesus Christ and being a blessing at that time. That'll be something that'll be a thrill throughout all eternity. Why? Because these were people that loved God. And this lady knew what it meant to pray. Do not despise prayer, folks. I know no one despises it, but to see it as a little thing, it is the heartbeat of our walk with God. And she expressed thanksgiving to the Lord. And she just shows the tremendous heart that she had, and she, like I said, evangelized with the truth from God, and she was telling everyone about this, and so God was working even in these early days. The message had gotten out. We don't know how many people were touched by that. But that laid a groundwork for the ministry that Jesus would have several decades later. Simeon and Anna, part of the Christmas story. But they're part of the Christmas story because they loved their God. They knew the truth. They spent time in prayer. They fellowshiped with godly people. And God brought them into contact with the greatest privilege you could have, to have been there when Jesus was being brought to the temple. And they knew that he was the Son of God. And these two became one of the early folks with great authority and great clarity to declare the gospel here in these early days. And my friends, I just have been burdened today in both the morning and evening messages as Christmas time. If we're really thrilled about Christmas, we ought to be talking about it. And I can't tell you that about how easy a time it is comparatively at Christmas versus other times to talk about Jesus. People will listen to you. And don't just hand a track out, give a witness. And talk about the fact you've met him. Did you know that you have met him in a deeper way than Simeon and Anna did at that point? You know him, and the Spirit of Christ indwells you. And so you can talk about him. How do you know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let's bow for prayer.